Good morning, Trinity. Welcome to each of you this morning. We're very glad to see you here. There's a couple of cards. You know the routine. Please fill those out. There will be a drawing one of these days when you fill those out. So we'll get to... It's illegal to raffle, so we just have to give this away. So we... We have to wait for Mary Jean to get up here because she's in the wrong seat. So come on up. We're going to shake hands and welcome one another. I'd like to make sure you all remember and are able to greet Pastor Timothy Krieger, who's filled in for me when I was ill. And Pastor Krieger, we're very honored to have you again today. Thank you. Please stand and welcome one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, free us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own grace and mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide what with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal to all peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promise given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him, with the Gentiles' hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Ask Pastor Timothy Krieger to read the gospel as our kind of our custom. If we have a visiting pastor, and we'd like to give you that honor, Pastor Krieger.
Thank you very much.
And thank you once again for filling in me while I was sick.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
It's good to be here. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated, and will the children please come forward for the children's message.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each and every one of you this day. Our text is taken from the gospel lesson which Pastor Krieger so well eloquently read, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Pew Bibles in front of you if you'd like to follow along, and also if we could have the slide for the text, that'd be great. As we looked at this text and started to look at it, the sermon's titled, Be Prepared. And I started thinking about a variety of things, but one of the things I thought of was the craft project that was getting ready for Lake Yola, and Desiree was doing one of those crafts, and she recruited a few of the help that happened to live at 3334 Honeysuckle Lane. And as a result, we were up doing that craft, finishing everything up. She'd done so much of the work beforehand, thank God, but there were still things to be done. To be prepared for the day of the crafts, which is at Lake Yola Christmas tree lighting with the mayor in downtown Orlando. As we did that, we thought, well, we'll get started here, and it became 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock turned to 10 o'clock. Well, the news is coming on, so we continued working and watching the news and whatnot, and then 10 o'clock became 11 o'clock, and we still weren't done. Kept finding something else, and then 11 o'clock turned to 12 o'clock, and at that time, Thursday became Friday, as you well know. And then after that, we said, well, certainly we're getting close, so we'll just stay up. Well, 12 o'clock became 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock became 2 o'clock. But we were going to be prepared. And so when you start to think about being prepared, it's kind of a tough thing, isn't it? I ask you, have you ever thought about what you had to be prepared for, a time you had to be prepared? Maybe it was to arrive for a new baby that was coming. Maybe it's for a wedding. Maybe it was for a college or a high school graduation. It was something that was significant, and you had to be there, and you had to be ready, and you had to be prepared. I bet you guys remember being prepared for the wedding. And being prepared meant you had a lot of work you had to do before you got to that point, but it seemed like the closer you got, the more you still had to do. John the Baptist was sent to prepare people to receive the Lord, or put in Bible language, prepare the way of the Lord. You know, Advent is such a time of preparation. It is also a time that we recognize the coming of Christ, which is really what Advent is all about. Now, up here in the Advent wreath, we see that there are three purple candles and one pink. And we're now in the second week of Advent, so we've lit two purple candles. And each one of these is to signify Christ is coming, and Christ is coming again. And Christ is coming as the babe of Bethlehem, as the Savior of the world, and he's coming again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we've had two candles lit. It means we're even getting closer. Next week we'll light, guess which one? Another purple or a pink? Oh, divided house. Ding, ding, ding. The answer is it's pink. Pink is the rejoicing candle. And this is according to the CPH LCMS website, so we know that's right. Huh? So the pink is the rejoicing candle, and the rejoicing candle is we rejoice because the Lord is really near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what John the Baptist was trying to tell all the people who were coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's really close. And then we light that week of Christmas on that Sunday, Saturday, the final purple candle. And then on Christmas Eve day, we will light, if we have that white candle in the middle, we would light it as the Christ candle to signify we've arrived and we are now celebrating the coming of Christ as the babe of Bethlehem. John the Baptist told the people, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Just in these little ornaments, we start to see that. And if we look at the Christmas tree, which way is it pointing? It's pointing up, isn't it? When I asked the CDC children, I said, what's the tree pointing to? And a little boy yells out, the ceiling! And when we start to think about all of this, we said, and we ask, you know, the perfect pastor question, I said, now, I've got to ask you, it's pointing to something else too. And of course, one of the kids chimed in, and he says, it's pointing to Jesus. That's always the answer anytime a pastor asks you a question, you know. It's Jesus. And so, in any case, these kids were ready to go. And they understood, in their homes, this tree is pointing them to Jesus. It's pointing out that Jesus is coming. But we also talked about the branches. As they stick out their branches, I said, can you look at the branch here and you start to see this? What happens at the very, very end where my fingers would be like? At the end of the branches, I said, you see how the branches kind of point up? That's because they're praising God, that we are reminded to praise God that he has sent us the greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, the coming King of Kings, who will take us to heaven with him. John wanted us to be prepared, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have Christmas trees, we have Christmas ornaments, all reminding us. But John began his message with, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what does that word repent really mean? Now, for no extra charge, I'll tell you the Greek word, okay? Well, Greg, you've got to pay. It's metanoia. Metanoia, if you've been married more than 2 years, you probably already know what it means to repent, right, guys? And so when we start to think about all of this, metanoia really means, and it can be explained in four words that all start with A. We need to acknowledge there's sin in our life. We also need to accept that this sin is wrong and is punishable in God's sight, even eternally. The third A, accept. We also need to accept that in Christ our sins have been forgiven and we have been released from the wrongness of those sins and can receive that cleansing and have received that cleansing as we look at what Christ did for us on Calvary's cross. Through the blood of Christ, we are cleansed. We also need to take that final A, away. Walk away, turn away from this sin that has entangled you and tripped you up. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are walking away from it. Now, isn't that really what happens as we commune? We receive the Lord's body and blood with the bread and the wine, and what is it that Jesus tells us? We confess, first of all, that we're poor and miserable sinners. We accept that. It's wrong, and we deserve punishment. But then we receive what Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body, this is my blood, as we receive the body and blood and the bread and the wine. He said, I give this to you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then he says, with the power, as we do in our liturgy, with the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, we amend our sinful lives. We walk away. So as we receive the Lord's body and blood, we are metanoia, repenting and receiving Christ's forgiveness, but also Christ empowering us through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk away and to resist those sins. John said, repent of your sins and turn to God. And we read in Romans that it is God who draws us near to him through that gospel message. For we cannot be saved by the law's demands, because the law crushes us. It condemns us, and it creates in our heart fear of the Almighty for what he has called us out of, that we've done wrong. But it is the gospel that draws us back to him. The gospel of God's grace, the kindness of God that says, I still love you, Doug. I still love you, Tim. I still love you, Joy. I still love you, whatever your name is. And I want you to be my child. And because of Christ, I forgive you. Now, as many of you know, I have a very cute granddaughter. Say yes. Thank you. I was going to show you baby pictures otherwise. We got a whole roll of them here. But I wanted to let you know she's 10 months old, and guess what? She's learned a word. No. And when you say no to her, guess what? Her little lip sticks out almost as long as her nose. And then she does that breathing thing, you know? And sometimes there'll be a little tear that'll form in a corner of her eye. And she does that especially for Grandpa, I think, but to make me feel bad. But when we start to see what happens is she heard the word no, that she knew she'd now done something that displeased her mom, her dad, her grandma, her grandpa's. And she understood that that wasn't good. But then when we hug her and hold her and assure her that we love her, she doesn't understand the word love or forgiveness, but she sure does understand that it's okay as we hold her and comfort her. You know, that's kind of how it is with God. We, as poor and miserable sinners, as God's kids, being brought to a time of repentance where God calls us out on our sins and we get a pouty little lip and we understand that what we've done is wrong and we get tearful and we confess our sins and we understand what we deserve. But it's like the prodigal father who saw his son. That gospel message, it was so sweet to the son who simply crawled back, only wanting to be a servant of his father's servants. It was his father who welcomed him back, even running towards the son and greeting his son, not with a you shouldn't, but with an open arms as he embraced his son and kissed him on the cheek, I believe. And when we see that he slipped the ring of the family upon the son and placed the robe upon the son and killed the fattened calf and giving the son a welcome home, assuring him everything is okay. That's how God does with us. He welcomes us back. And you see, that's what John was doing for those who had a repentant heart. Those who came who had been crushed by the shortcomings of their life and of their sin and the failings that they had done that have disappointed God and their family and everyone else. John's baptism brought them the assurance that their sins were indeed forgiven. The tax collectors and the prostitutes and the outcast of the synagogue who had been crushed by all those things that they had done and by how people felt about them. John offered them by God's grace, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," and assuring them that that kingdom was also meant for them. Not so with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, however, who wore the badge of, "We're better than you. We have no need of repentance. We're children of Abraham, after all. God would not reject us. We're not only God's chosen people of Israel, we are the direct descendants of Abraham. And we're also leaders of God's holy church. We're untouchable. Not even God would quite dare to discipline or judge us." Or so they thought. There's a story of St. Peter one day giving tours of the new arrivals into heaven. And as he was walking these new arrivals through the pearly gates and then walking them through all the gates and all the doors and all the places of heaven, there were all these walls and things that they wondered, what's going on? And so he'd usually support them by answering them. But one time he came to this place, this wall, there's a great big wall, and he said, "Shh, nobody talk." He said, "You got to be quiet because those are the Lutherans back there. And they think they're the only ones here." Now, as you and I start to think about it, that's really a bit of kind of how the Pharisees were. I'm proud of being a Lutheran, but I'm proud of being a Christian Lutheran. I understand the worship that we have and the liturgy that we have and the things that we do and teach and profess come straight out of the Bible. And I'm so thankful for that. But it's not my relationship with my mom or dad that made me a member of this church, or because I've been here 69 years or whatever the age might be of someone. As important as that is, I want you to know my ticket to heaven is not about my ordination. It's not about my number of years of ministry or service, or the number of mission starts that have been done, or about the number of baptisms that have occurred. It's about my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one thing that matters. My personal relationship with Jesus. John warned the Pharisees that they were under judgment. Even they were under judgment. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they had not been born out their lives of repentance. They had no fruits to show. John sternly warned them that the acts of God's judgment is at the root of the trees, ready to chop the entire family tree down and throw it into the fire of God's judgment. This stern warning was hard for the Pharisees and Sadducees to hear. They were the chosen ones, or so they thought. And now they were hearing that they were not worthy, but rather the outcast John was baptizing and forgiving, washing their sins away. You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees had built their certainty on the basis of who they were related to, the other Israelites, but not upon their real living relationship with God. You see what I mean? Very subtle, very important. John the Baptist had unmasked them. He'd shown them the insincerity of their faith and their distrust and displeasure, really, with God and his judgment. They were merely members outwardly. According to this, you could say they were really nothing more but cousins twice removed by marriage. Second cousins at that. They were external members. John saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not bring forth fruits of repentance, no honesty or good fruits. God judges even the motives of the hearts, my friends. And merely, not the words that we say out loud, but rather the very intentions of the heart. Our lives, my friends, are like those of the Pharisees and Sadducees and the outcast. Our lives are lived out also in the hands of the Almighty God, who is holy and who abhors sin. Every form, every size. But we are, as Luther says, beggars of God's grace. And thanks be to God that we receive it freely as we look to Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Producing good fruits is what John talked about. But I want you to know, my friends, we are saved by grace through faith. And that faith is in Christ Jesus alone. And it's not of works, lest any one of us could boast like the Pharisees or Sadducees. It's by Christ alone. But if we go to verse 10, there's one more thing we need to learn from that section of Scripture, Ephesians. And what we see there is that the Father himself has produced and prepared good works for us to do beforehand. So producing good fruits is not some type of a switch on a wall we can turn on or off. As sin-sickened sinners, we cannot do that. But by the grace of God that is at work in our lives, he moves us to accept the forgiveness Christ offers and to free us from sin so that we can go away from those sins. And now he breathes into us the breath of life, pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us. And what happens? We exhale. Our lives pour out the good works that God has prepared for us to do. It's a response to what God has done. It's a witness to what God is doing in our lives. We cannot not do good works that have been breathed into our lives. And we exhale that air of God's grace. And the love of Christ is at work in us as we live this out in our daily life. You know what this does? It demonstrates that in us, God is at work, alive. That's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any person be in Christ Jesus, guess what? They're a new creation, a new person. The old person has passed away, and the new is arriving. And in the Greek, it means he's arriving, yes, now, but he's also continuing to arrive tomorrow and the next day and into eternity. And so as we start to see and start to understand our life is but a construction zone of God's grace at work in us. And the things that we do on behalf of Christ are his Spirit at work in us. Now, John writes, I baptize you with water and those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. John's role was that of preparer for the people of his time. I'd like to ask you, do you see yourself as being a preparer? Do you see yourself as being an ambassador of reconciliation? Do you see yourself as a witness? God does. God sees each and every one of us as that person who's a witness, a seed sower, a preparer, someone who will share their faith with someone else. Possibly you don't see yourself as that. But God gave John a powerful message to prepare the way for people to receive Christ. This message was so powerful, the people from some 47 miles away walked to get there to receive what John had to give. Do you see yourself as that ambassador? That one who shares with others the forgiveness of Christ? As that witness that is there to share the good news? Possibly you don't. But God's message is so powerful that it is at work within you and it is something you can share. Now, as we were watching those crafts, you know, one of the things we saw when it was a little tea light in the top of a clear glass with the picture of the nativity and the shepherds and the wise men, and you could see as the light clicked on, it just illuminated the whole glass. But the real illumination is when you watch the child's eyes that had just prepared the craft. They just took that, and their eyes lit up. They got the message the first time. This was theirs. They had made it. And now they can tell the story of Christ and his birth. I remember seeing, as we've done adult confirmations, and I was the only Lutheran in the group. I remember when the lights went on. the Holy Spirit illuminating their life. And you could just see the Spirit of the Lord at work when they confessed and they said, I understand it. I understand we really are forgiven. I understand we really are given God's grace. And to understand that was a wonderful thing as the light went on. You remember what Jesus said to the disciples on Easter, the evening after he'd risen from the dead? He appears to the disciples behind locked doors. You remember last Sunday we told you, he shows them his hands and his side and he says, peace be with you, Eirene, peace. My peace be with you. An all-powerful peace that pierces even through the darkness of death. Jesus showed him he'd overcome death and the grave. But Jesus repeats that again. He says, peace be with you. And then he says two other things. He says, as the Father sent me, I now send you. And then the second thing. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. But if you retain the sins of any, they're not forgiven. As a preparer, as an ambassador, as a witness, who do you need to tell of God's love, of his forgiveness? But also maybe of your forgiveness of them. Is it your spouse? A son or a daughter? A parent? Is it a next door neighbor or a coworker? It's a real thing. It's a real important message that needs to be shared. And this conversation will have consequences that will change their life. And the neat thing is that you and I get to be a part of what God's plan is to help change and impact people's lives, not only in this life, but in eternity. And as you and I start to see that, we get to be that witness. We could invite someone to the next Bible class here at Trinity or Immerse. We could invite them to come to one of our 10 worship services that will be held during Christmas. We could invite them. We could take a plate of cookies or take that time to write that Christmas card with a special handwritten note assuring them of God's love. Could you take a moment perhaps to call a friend or knock on the door of a neighbor or a friend who's had a hard time going on in their life? You know, as kids, we used to have something called show and tell. You remember that? Wasn't that fun? Mary, do you have show and tell with your kids? Well, here's what I did when I was in kindergarten. I got my tonsils out. And I told the doctor to save my tonsils. And he put them in a little jar. And guess what I did? I took them to show and tell. And guess what the girls said? Ew! Dougie's tonsils! Now, a positive example of showing and telling is going to be provided by you. What has God done in your world, in your life? How has he answered prayers? What are they? Can you reflect back on that? Jot them down maybe when you get home or right now. Who is God to you? Because you see, all Jesus is asking us to do is he says, you are my witnesses, so that I've sent you. As my Father sent me, I now send you. He's simply wanting us to show the world and to tell them what God has shown us. You see, it's the joy is that we get to connect our story with his story. And that's what we've been called to do. John says, I will baptize you with the Holy water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Greek word for baptism, one of them, is baptizo. It means to pour out. The God will pour out. Jesus will baptize you, pouring out his Spirit upon the individual. And that's what we did here in our waters of baptism, that God was pouring out his Spirit upon this individual. And he's poured out his Spirit in your life and continues to do so. Baptizo. That Holy Spirit that teaches us all things concerning the Son and the Father You see, John's baptism was only for the removal, the repentance of sins. And that's certainly true also with these, our baptisms. But the Spirit also is guaranteed and given to us that teaches us all things concerning the Son and the Father, so that we might know the will of God. The Spirit also convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and of righteousness that comes only in Christ. The Spirit that intercedes for us with groans that are too deep for words. The Spirit that creates and keeps us in the true faith. The Spirit that we have received as a guarantee, as a seal upon our soul that we received. Thanks be to God. We are adopted as Christ's children. John says he, Jesus, will baptize you, will pour out his Spirit upon us, and with fire. I always wondered, what's that fire thing? I think I stumbled onto it. Remember in Romans 5? Remember it talks about there? We now stand and exalt in the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance leads us to proven character. Proven character leads us to hope. A hope that in Romans 5:5 says will not disappoint us. You see, if we're asked to trust God with our forever, what we really need to do in the here and now is to learn to also trust him with our everyday life. At the news of cancer, the loss of the job, a trouble in a relationship that is so important, sickness, the suffering, whatever that might be. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in that stuff too. God doesn't leave you alone to just handle this stuff. He walks with you and through these events so that he can create a deeper faith that will always and certainly can help you continue in that faith so that you will trust him. Trust him with your life here and now, today, with the stuff you got going on, but also with your forever. When you breathe your last breath and that last tick of your heart, when your eyelids close in death, to be able to know that you will sing and have sung in this life, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join me as we confess our faith in this Sunday in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. One baptism for the remission of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead and the life to come. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks for the people such as John the Baptist who've prepared the way of the Lord in our lives. We thank you for a parent. We thank you for that cousin or uncle or aunt. We thank you for a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. We thank you for a teacher that nurtured that faith. We thank you, O Lord, for someone who discipled us in this faith and who also held us accountable when we were wrong and who needed to remind us, with the Lord, there is also forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for them. And we ask you, O Lord, that you would help us to remember them and to be reminded of the importance of their involvement in our life. And as such, that we would be reminded that it is now our turn to be preparers of the way of the Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless this congregation and our school. We ask, O Lord, that the outreach event that we held this past weekend would bear fruit. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless those little crafts, those pictures that were taken of family photos that were in the nativity, and of the drinks that were served, and the children that sung, and our peace comfort dog, that one thing after another was a reminder of your great love for all of us. May these all bear fruit, Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Dear Heavenly Father, the church comes before you with praise and thanksgiving and supplication. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we receive daily. And we lift up in prayer, Shireen, for your healing touch for surgery this Thursday to restore and maintain her vision. And we lift up in prayer, Asher, who is recovering from heart surgery. We also lift up in prayer Star, and who is being hospitalized or is hospitalized. We lift up in prayer Luca and Megan. We pray for Luca as he is having to learn to live with paralysis. We just lift all these up before you in prayer. We just ask you for you're there in their midst and just minister through them and through the medical professionals that are helping them out and be with their families. Lord, in your mercy.
Oh Lord, we thank you for these and all other prayers that have been requested, and we ask that you would bring your answer to those that are unspoken prayers this day. May we all acknowledge your will being done, and may we glorify you for your answers that you bring. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what you have hidden, what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have been known to the nations of the world in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Remember us when you come into your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." Receive now the benediction of our Lord and Savior. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
We have some announcements. Thanks to all who came out Friday to the city tree lighting and Trinity's Christmas outreach event. We had lots of new people helping out with the outreach tents. The kids sang beautifully, and we were able to share a message that Christmas is still all about Jesus and a lot of people, with a lot of people. Thank you. Wednesday Advent devotions continue on December 11th. You'll hear a message of hope on the cross this week. Service times are 12 p.m. to 12:50 or 7 p.m. in the evening if you prefer. Bring a friend. See your Trinity Weekly for more information. The next Immerse series, which is entitled Beginnings, will begin on January 5th. Study groups meet at Trinity on Sunday mornings, Tuesday mornings, and Tuesday evenings. There are home groups in West Orlando as well as Winter Park. All details are in your weekly. If you're interested in being part of a group here at Trinity before the Saturday evening worship services, please contact the office and let us know. The book order has already been placed in the office. If you didn't get your order in, please order directly from the Immerse Bible Reading Experience website. Our next Foundations class will be held on Saturdays from 4 p.m. to 5:30, from January 11th through February 29th. This class is all for new incoming members and all our new full-time Trinity staff members also. This is your introduction to who we are here at Trinity. Pastor Doug will take you through an introduction to your Christian faith, the LCMS Lutheran Church, the basics of the catechism, discipleship, studying your Bible, and sharing your faith. It's also a great way to meet others fairly new to Trinity and build some new relationships. Please contact Chanda to sign up. And that's it.
And serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God.
Or you.